This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, June 22nd of 2022. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, Boulder City Council met last night ahead of their summer recess. We'll get a roundup from Boulder Beat journalist Shay Castle. As always on Wednesday morning, Chris Moore will share his commentary, Make Them Hear You. And then, herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour, then it's the Hightower Lowdown. In today's A Public Affair, we'll hear an online candidate forum featuring primary candidates running for Boulder County Sheriff. The forum took place earlier this month and was hosted by the League of Women Voters of Boulder County. Then at 9:30, Shauna Sprouse will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead this morning, but first, a look at the headlines with KGNU's Nicole Rubin.
Colorado taxpayers will receive a tax rebate of $750 for individuals and $1,500 for joint filers this summer. Governor Jared Polis announced yesterday that if you have filed your 2021 taxes by June 30th, you will get your rebate this summer by September 30th. If you have not filed taxes but do so before October 17th, you will receive a rebate in January 2023. Polis said in a press release that he wants to provide relief for Colorado residents due to rising costs. Full-year Colorado residents who are at least 18 years old as of December 31st, 2021, can file a Colorado return claim even if they do not have a taxable income. Tax rebates are returned through the mail. More information can be found at tax.colorado.gov/cash-back. On Tuesday, in a public hearing, Boulder City Council unanimously agreed to implement a 5-year pilot program that allows restaurants, brew pubs, taverns, wineries, and distilleries to continue to offer outdoor dining. Businesses can apply to the program and pay for a permit and parklet infrastructure from the city. Earlier this year, the City Council designated $250,000 to American Rescue Plan Act funds for the pilot program, as well as other business recovery efforts. The program added curbside drop-off and pickup locations, allowed for outdoor dining area expansions, and aided in street closures at the west end of Pearl Street. According to the Daily Camera, in a survey issued by Downtown Boulder Partnership and the city, 49% of all restaurants and 60% of current program participants indicated that they were very likely to participate when presented with the concept for a downtown outdoor dining pilot program without any information about potential associated fees. Applications will open on Monday, June 27th and close on July 15th. After that, the city plans on beginning the purchase of parklet infrastructure. Restaurants that opt against the pilot program must remove outdoor infrastructure by August 31st, and restaurants that participate in it can transition through October 31st. A horse in Pueblo County tested positive for equine infectious anemia, a viral disease spread by blood-feeding flies. The horse initially tested positive at the CSU Veterinary Diagnostic Laboratory on June 2nd. The horse was moved to Pueblo 2 weeks prior and was only being tested for movement purposes. It never showed signs of EIA while it was being tested. There's no vaccine or treatment for the disease, and infected animals must be euthanized or quarantined for life. The horse was euthanized on June 15th. Further investigation by the USDA probed that this horse was associated with an EIA-positive herd in California while participating in unsanctioned racing, which is known to be associated with transmissions of EIA. No additional horses were on the Pueblo County premises, and the quarantine has been lifted. Bike to Work Day 2022 lines up more than 140 stations to refresh and refuel on your commute Wednesday. KGNU's Christian Garibe has more.
Dozens of stations across the city are providing free breakfast to anyone who pulls up for Bike to Work Day, including outside our Boulder studios at 4100 Walnut Street, right below the Foothills Parkway and off the bike path. The event will start around 6:30 a.m. and all across Boulder, these bike stations will be open for participants. These stations will include breakfast, refreshments, and other amenities. Some of these locations include the Boulder County Sheriff's Office, Boulder Dushanbe Tea House, Spruce Cafe on East Pearl Street, and so many more. For KGNU, I'm Christian Garibay.
Changes are coming to the management of Bears Ears National Monument in southeastern Utah. Federal agencies will increase tribal representation and decision-making for land within the monument's boundaries. Justin Higginbottom has more on this unique partnership.
The BLM and U.S. Forest Service signed an agreement over the weekend giving more management rights of Bears Ears National Monument to the five tribes living in that region. BLM Director Tracy Stone Manning called the agreement an important step for considering traditional perspectives in joint decision-making. President Biden had reestablished the Bears Ears Commission, which includes one elected officer from each tribe. That commission, along with federal agencies, will create a plan for the 1.36 million acres of federal land within the monument. They will also work together to develop public programs and return archaeological objects. The agreement comes with a new Bears Ears National Monument sign on Highway 261. It includes the insignias of the tribal partners, the Hopi, Navajo, Ute Mountain Ute, Ute Indian, and the Pueblo of Zuni. Justin Higginbottom for Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Expect cloudy skies across the Front Range today. In Boulder, it's a high of 83 and a low of 51. In Denver, it's a high of 87 and a low of 53. In Fort Collins, it's a high of 88 and a low of 50. Outside the studio, it is 54 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Nicole Rubin.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Hannah Stewart. Boulder City Council met last night ahead of their summer recess. They covered a range of topics, from fire preparedness to their perennial favorite, outdoor dining. KGNU Shannon Young spoke with Boulder Beat reporter Shay Castle earlier this morning.
So last night was the last of the Tuesday night City Council meetings, which by extension means this is the last Wednesday morning roundup that we'll be doing. Why the shift in time and what's the new day?
So when council returns from summer break, they are moving the meetings to Thursday nights. So the first meeting on Thursday will be July 14th. And that shift was made really because the timing of getting out the council packets, they get released on Thursday nights. And then, you know, that's really over the weekend that council members have to read them, absorb them, ask questions of staff. So really that means they have Friday during the day and Monday during the day to ask questions of staff. And it was just too quick of a turnaround. So this will give longer lead time for council to ask questions and in between meetings to pull packets together. I don't know the new schedule for releasing those, but they said it's going to give more time. So we'll see if that is the case.
I would also note that it now means that city council meetings are not conflicting with Boulder Valley School District school board meetings. So hopefully that will give KGNU news staff a bit more of an opportunity to be able to cover school board meetings. But I digress. Go ahead and give us the broad view of the most important points of this final Tuesday evening meeting.
Yes, so they talked about outdoor dining. Yet again, that program was extended for 5 years as a pilot program, and they basically set new rules for like here's take up. Here's the infrastructure you can use. So that's going to be standardized because it's been kind of hodgepodge since they started that during the pandemic. The fire chief was also there to talk about, you know, what they've been doing to implement their master plan update. So that's things like bringing emergency services in. He promised that within the next couple of years or so, Boulder's going to see faster ambulance response times. Their goal is 6 minutes, which is quite quick. And in his words, you know, should probably save some lives when it comes to cardiac events. They also talked about fire preparedness and wildfire, the resources they've devoted to that and the training. Unfortunately, still not a lot of detail there, but you know, it's a major priority and they're working on it. They briefly discussed a new item, which was, should we do e-bike rebates the way that Denver did? Denver had a hugely popular program where they provided 150 residents vouchers to reimburse them for some of the cost of e-bikes. You know, 3,000 people applied and only 150 people got vouchers. So it was obviously very popular. But ultimately, Boulder decided not to pursue that at this current time because staff is already too busy working on other transportation projects, but there was so much enthusiasm for it that they are going to bring it back as soon as they can. But it won't be within the year. It might be a year or two before staff can get to that.
One quick point that I want to ask more about that you just mentioned, fire department and emergency response. How involved is the Boulder Fire Rescue Department with emergency response?
So they didn't really used to be that involved at all. They do go on every call, and the bulk of their calls are for emergency response, not for fire. However, Boulder has contracted with a national company, AMR, to provide the more what they call advanced life services or advanced life support, which is, you know, cardiac machines. They could administer medications, things like that. We've been paying paramedics salaries or subsidizing their salaries for several years because the company won't pay them a living wage. So it's kind of like we're already paying for it. We're already going on the calls, but we're not getting the service, and they have slower response times than city teams do. So they're essentially taking all that over. Council approved that, you know, way back in 2018. So it will soon be, once they get the trucks and once they get some more paramedics trained, it will soon be almost entirely, if not entirely, in-house in the fire department.
And once again, you're mentioning outdoor dining. If agenda items of city council were a pie chart, what portion of that pie chart would be dedicated to outdoor dining?
I would say a very healthy slice of pie, possibly second slice of pie, would be in that pie chart. They have just visited and revisited this over the years. But as we know, the city council, you see this with the rebates and the staff, they're not really, they don't do things that quickly. So when they do something new and do something as quickly as they did this, they just kind of talk it to death. So I think we've gone over outdoor dining maybe 5 or 6 times in the last 2 years, but hopefully this is it for the next 2 years. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, speaking of things that seem popular that could merit quick action, tell me more about these e-bike rebates and why they didn't happen.
Again, it was really staff capacity. So this came from the Transportation Advisory Board. A member brought that up and worked with Community Cycles and Council Member Matt Benjamin to bring that to council. The plan was, you know, supposed to be a quick $100,000, give it to Community Cycle, who sent a proposal to the city. So they were taking the lead on this as well, and they would run the program. But staff didn't really have the capacity. They were going to try to get it set up by September, but they would have to delay work on the core arterial network, which is the really big switch in transportation that the city has done to focus on bike and pedestrian improvements on Boulder's major roads, which is where most of the crashes happen. And the majority of council, including Matt Benjamin, who brought the idea forward, were not in favor of delaying that work to pursue this rebate program. And I should note that even Denver's, there's no evidence that Denver's program was stood up that quickly. The voters passed a climate tax in 2020, which paid for it, and they just implemented it this year. I don't know necessarily what the timeline was on that, but that indicates it was a long time.
I do. So just an asterisk to this. I spoke to Grace Rankin, who's the climate chief of the city of Denver. And she said actually that what took the longest out of getting everything up and running was contracting out to a third party to be able to find somebody who could run the rebate program, because they have, you know, this added verification mechanism for people who are low income. And so she said, you know, the will was there and it was ready to go, but it took several months to contract with a third party to handle all of the rebate requests and processing. So that was apparently by far the most time intensive part of getting that going. But back to Boulder City Council meeting, there was also an issue with Seth Franco. Can you remind listeners what happened in that case and what transpired last night?
So Seth Franco was a young man who had previous interactions with Boulder police and was on probation. His probation officer became concerned that he was at a risk for suicide and so called in a welfare check on him. When the officers responded, they handcuffed Franco and searched him and found a psychedelic mushroom in his backpack. And so he was arrested. And that arrest was thrown out for, you know, wrongful reasons. Obviously, they had no right to search him. And Seth Franco sued for that. A jury awarded him $3.4 million in damages for that arrest. And that was a posthumous award because Seth Franco died by suicide in a halfway house in 2020, 3 years after his arrest. And last night, City Council approved that settlement. They have to approve all payments over $10,000. It was eventually reduced to a $2 million settlement, but it's still fairly large for the city of Boulder. And it is the third such settlement related to police conduct within the last 3 years. Zaid Atkinson, the Naropa student who was notoriously confronted, got a settlement in 2020. And then Sammy Lawrence, who was arrested while filming police, got a settlement earlier this year. So just a lot of activity on that in recent months.
And finally, another significant item for Boulder County, though not necessarily City of Boulder, has to do with the Lafayette gun control measures. Tell me more.
Well, Lafayette passed their gun control measures. They didn't do quite the same package that Boulder, Louisville, and Superior did, but they passed those last night. There were a lot of gun, you know, Moms Demand Action volunteers in attendance. And the votes were pretty quick. They did receive a lot of national attention and feedback from all over the country as the NRA covered this, but they were still able to pass those measures. And we're just waiting on Longmont and Boulder County.
Well, thank you, Shay, for our very final Wednesday morning City Council wrap-up. Hopefully we'll be hearing from you on Friday mornings when City Council returns from recess.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
Shay Castle is the founder of BoulderBeat.news, and you can find her online with her City Council wrap-up tweets at Shay Shine Castle. For KGNU, I'm Shannon Young.
We go now to Chris Moore's weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you. Make them hear you.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. A U.S. House of Representatives panel has put forth a bill requiring the Supreme Court to adopt a code of ethics, strengthening rules for justices and other federal judges to recuse themselves from cases where they have conflicts of interest. The House Judiciary Committee sent the measure by a 22-16 vote to the full House. It was crafted after calls by Democrats for Justice Clarence Thomas to recuse himself from cases involving the January 6, 2021 insurrection because text messages showed his wife advocated for attempts to overturn the 2020 election. In text messages sent just before the riot, Thomas's wife, Ginny Thomas, repeatedly asked then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows to work to overturn the election. The focus on Thomas triggered Republican opposition to the Supreme Court Ethics Recusal and Transparency Act of 2022, despite bipartisan interest in similar legislation. Republican committee members claimed that Democrats were using the legislation to intimidate Supreme Court justices in response to the leaked draft opinion overturning Roe v. Wade. But Democrats responded that the legislation was necessary to reestablish dwindling public trust in one of the nation's most important institutions. Quote, "People are justifiably shocked when they learn that not only is there no code of conduct for the Supreme Court, but that the justices have steadfastly opposed the creation of one," said Democratic Chairman Gerald Nadler. The bill calls for a Supreme Court to issue a code of conduct for its justices and would require the justices and their law clerks to disclose all gifts, reimbursements, and income they receive. The bill also raises the bar for justices and other federal judges to recuse themselves when they have conflicts and creates new mechanisms for parties to seek their disqualification. Groups that file friend of the court briefs on either side of an issue must also disclose the names of any people who contributed to the preparation of the brief or who provided financial support to the group. More legislation to reform the judiciary are pending. Congress recently approved bipartisan legislation to subject federal judges, including the Supreme Court, to more rigorous disclosure requirements for their stock trades and other financial holdings. If you have thoughts on the Supreme Court Ethics, Recusal, and Transparency Act of 2022, you can contact your senators and congressperson. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
Time now for Naturally with Brigitte Mars.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. I'm decided to do a little segment on natural self-care through all the chakras. So here we are at orange, which corresponds to the element of water and our reproductive system, our kidneys, adrenals, So how do we take care of all that? Well, of course, we could start with, are we drinking enough water? We are so blessed to have running water. A lot of places on the planet don't, but we waste so much water. And a proverb I once heard that I really take to heart is, if you have water to throw away, throw it on a plant. And what if everybody had a basin in their sink where they collected water that maybe they used to rinse a dish or rinse an apple? And rather than just pouring it all down the sink, you collected it in a basin, and then several times a day, you open the door to the porch, the balcony, the yard, and you gave it to the mint plants or the rose bush. I like to remind myself to drink lots of water in the summer, and one way to do that is to add some clumps of herbs, perhaps from your garden, but adding some mint or lemon balm to your water bottle not only flavors the water with the essential oils, but has a refrigerant or cooling effect. Something you might want to do. And you can fill the water bottle up several times and reuse that mint or lemon balm. It's a great way to use some of those excess herbs that might be coming up in your garden. Also, this is certainly a time where we value our community. There's a lot of socializing that goes on in the summer, and really looking at, are we hanging out with people that bring out the best in us? Aha, good idea. So another thing that can help us to stay cool is the use of soaps scented with essential oil of peppermint. Aha. So, of course, I love Dr. Bronner's peppermint soap, which is cooling and refreshing and makes you tingle, seems to lower your body temperature. But another thing you might consider doing is making a spray where you fill an 8-ounce bottle with spring water and then add about 20 drops of essential oil of peppermint. And then anytime you feel really hot, whether it be from the hot weather or a hot flash, just close your eyes and mouth and mist yourself, your head, your neck, your chest, your wrists with the cooling mist of peppermint. It works so effectively. Another thing is to add some things like cucumber slices or strawberries to your water. I wish you well, and remember to honor the gift of water. Many blessings. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. I've been your host, Hannah Stewart. Special thanks to Nicole Rubin, Kiara Damari, Alexis Kenyon, Christian Garabai, Shannon Young, Chris Moore, and Brigitte Mars for their contributions to today's program. A reminder that if you'd like to share a comment with KGNU, call us at 303-447-9911. We play the messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25 during the Morning Magazine. Stay tuned for the Hightower Lowdown and then a public affair. That's after these news headlines from the BBC.